First Impressions by I Am Anonymouse. Read by Rhea314 for Annalise 010 and ITPE 2017. Fandom Captive Prince. Chapter 1. The first time Nicandros sees the Prince of Vir, he is filled with equal parts hatred and fear. Hatred because this twig of a boy has held his king captive, has owned him. The very thought makes him shudder, and degraded him. But fear, because this blonde-haired, blue-eyed beauty of a boy is Damon's weaknesses embodied. Because this calculating, emotionless devil of a boy has no doubt realized this and will take complete advantage. This is the prince Damon gave Delpha to. This. Nicandros watches them as they sit on their twin thrones, sees Damon's stifled reaction as the Prince of Vir gives him a gold whip, even as the gathered Achilleans eagerly await the men's punishment. He sees Damon's face flush, his eyes flying to the Vrishan princes, sees something in the air between them. He sees the affected indifference of the prince, a harsh contrast to Damon's coiled tension, and he sees the prince's haughty arrogance, an attitude cultivated only in a man who has always lounged on a throne while others work and fight and die for him. This is the man who left the Achilleans to die at Charcy. This. Nicandros sees it all, but he does not understand. He sees Damon's back while he fights Pallas, looks in horror at the scarred, demolished skin. He leads Damon into a tent, tears his clothes away, stares at the destruction. He asks who did this to his king, and the Vrishan answers. He wants to destroy the prince for what he's done, wants to strangle him to stop the vicious words that leave his mouth. He does not understand why Damon stops him. He watches the prince in the octon, grudgingly admires his seat on his horse, counts the first bullseye as luck. The second, third, and fourth as well. He sees Damon catch a spear mid-flight, sees how Damon doesn't care, too focused on the blonde figure ahead of him, watches the prince make that skillful jump, watches, only half-surprised, as the prince continues on, grasping a spear and making his last perfect bullseye. He sees the prince's arched eyebrows, the glimmer in his eyes, sees Damon's radiant grin, his beautiful throw, his last spear landing alongside the prince's. He sees something in the air between them and thinks he may be starting to understand. Nicandros sees their fight, although he never intends to tell them. Exalted ordered the room cleared, he is told, and he understands, but he saw Damon's face, wants to make sure Damon isn't doing anything he'll later regret. He looks through a small crack in the doorway and watches. He sees Laurent enter the room, hears them exchange words, sees Laurent pick up a sword, knows that the diminutive prince will be easily vanquished. Watches in awe as the prince holds his ground, as steel clashes and more Vrishan words are exchanged. He hears one word, Auguste, and thinks he understands. He watches their duel span the room, watches Laurent do everything he can, watches him inexorably give up more ground, watches Damon pin and disarm him. He hears Laurent shout something at Damon, face full of emotion Nicandros has never seen before, and sees Damon speak, stop, and leave the room. Nicandros is hiding in an alcove when Damon passes. Once Damon's footsteps have receded, he looks into the room again, spots Laurent leaning with one hand against a wall, breathing deeply, steadily, body trembling. Not with fatigue, Nicandros realizes. This is the most not in control Nicandros has ever seen the Prince of Vir. He sees Laurent stand up straight, touch his shoulder with a wince. He sees Laurent shift his arm with a slowness that reveals injury. For the first time, he wonders just how much the prince has been hiding from everyone so effortlessly. And for the first time he wonders why, exactly, Laurent of Vire never arrived at Charcy. He watches the guards stop their caravan, hides his tension and fear as Damon tries to stop them, as the guards enter the wagon with Jocasta. Listens incredulously as the conversation continues, watches cautiously as the guards step outside, faces flushed, and escort them to the border. He sees Laurent exit the wagon after the guards have gone, a ball of blue fabric in his hands. He sees the grin on Damon's face, the faint, wry happiness echoed in Laurent's. He looks from Laurent to the wagon and back again, tries not to think about it too much, like Damon suggests. He sees Laurent's familiarity with Damon, glaringly obvious in the face of the Aquileon's constant reverence. He sees Damon sit at the fire, sees Laurent casually join him, each comfortable in the other's presence. Listens to Laurent share their adventures in the brothel, watches the prince's eyes as more stories are shared. Spots of warmth in them as he glances at Damon unnoticed, the slight softness of his mouth where Nicandros has only ever seen hardness. He hears their soft words when everyone else is asleep, senses the intimacy that the prince refuses to reveal in public, listens as they practically make marriage vows, and finds that, strangely, he is not as bothered as he thought he would be. Nicandros thinks he understands. He sees the trial, sees how Damon, furiously loyal, steadfast Damon, risks his life to save Laurent. He sees, surprisingly, Laurent do the same, protecting Damon with Guillaume's wife, revealing that he has been planning this far longer than Nicandros anticipated. He realizes, thinking of all of his observations of the Vrishan, that he should not be so surprised at Laurent's actions. He watches as the Vrishan Council pledges to Laurent, sees Laurent's shock and awe, thinks, somewhat fondly, that the ever-scheming, fair-haired prince should have expected this. If he were the council, he would pledge to Laurent as well. He sees Laurent go straight to Damon's side, release him, and speak to him. He sees Damon smile and slip away, sees Laurent's eyes follow him before he brings the Vrishans under his control. He sees Laurent leave to follow Damon, laughs at himself for ever hating this prince, no, king of Vire. Nicandros sees all this and knows that he will never truly understand. Chapter 2 Epilogue. Nicandros likes watching them still, seeing their indisputable unity as they work to join their kingdoms, noticing the fond looks they sometimes exchange. He's gotten more talented at deciphering Laurent, although he is still regularly amazingly surprised by the Vrishan's mind. He accompanies them on their one-week hiatus outside Ios's capital, an unfortunate necessity now that they are kings of their country. He tries to stay out of their way, standing off to the side and just watching, smiling, but Damon consistently drags him into their conversations, forces him to interact. So Nicandros watches them still, but now at a much smaller distance, notices Laurent's soft, relaxed posture, his rolled-up sleeves, a subtle surrender to the Aquileon heat, the gentle, minuscule curl at the edge of his mouth. Hears their barbed comments, spoken in fond, quiet tones, notices how Damon's eyes never stray from Laurent, even as the Vrishan looks at the expansive gardens, admires the waves of the coast, smiles at the breeze from the sea. Notices how easily they inhabit each other's space, how Laurent is always careful to rest his shoulder against Damon, or his foot, or his leg, or his head. Sees the dying light glint off their matte and gold cuffs as they watch, side by side, the beautiful sunset over the kingdom they have created. The first time he hears Laurent laugh, Nicandros thinks he has gone mad. The second time, he finds himself smiling, A paltry twin of Damon's look of pure endless joy as he watches his friend, his lover, his king double over with laughter and clench his sides. The third time, Nicandros can't help but laugh as well. He wonders about them still, but in a different way, no longer concerned with loyalty and honesty and dependability. He knows what they would do for each other, knows that their bond can never be broken. Instead, he wonders at their comfort, their absolute unwavering trust and love for each other, forged from lies and betrayal and pain. He watches them playfully spar in the mornings and wonders what their lives would have been like had the war never happened. Watches their skill, so different but so beautiful, and wonders, for the first time, what kind of man Auguste had been. Knows that he must have been the kind of man Nicandros would follow without hesitation, if he was anything like Laurent. He hears them at night, talking softly to each other, laughing at foolish jokes. He hears Laurent formulate complicated, convoluted, impeccable plans. Hears Damon unravel the unnecessary knots and tangles. He rides alongside them as they return to the capital, notices Damon's permanent smile, Laurent's contented stance, and counts himself blessed to be here at their side. This is the king Damon gave Delpha to. This. Nicandros realizes that this is worth more than his Delpha could ever be. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening. And Annalise O10, you're awesome, and I hope you enjoyed this Podfic. Happy ITPE!